Today, our scripture reading, as I said earlier, is Psalm 23. I remember talking to Gary Campbell and Loran Peril last week about one of the things that when you joined this church as a new member, as a kid, you're a teenager, you had to memorize Psalm 23, and you better have had every line in that right. And you did it in front of the full session. So today, I'm going to call on some of your training, and we're going to read The Lord is My Shepherd, Psalm 23, together. But we're going to be using an updated version of it, not just a little newer version from the New Revised Standard. And so we're going to read this together so we can understand a little bit of what it means for God to be our shepherd, what it means for God to be present for us. Let us read the words together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have committed to being present with us in so many ways. You have guided us. You have taken care of us, even as we walk through the darkest of valleys. Be present with us now, Lord. Help inspire the words of my mouth so that they may be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So many of you know, last summer I traveled to Colorado to reconnect with a couple of my best friends, one who I haven't seen in 6 years, and that was the first time I had seen him. And while we were there, we decided to take in the latest summer movie blockbuster, which depicted dinosaurs fleeing a volcanic explosion, and then later, the same dinosaurs eating a bunch of rich government officials. Just to name a few of the more exciting plot points. And let me tell you, it was a life changer. As our disappointment of the movie dissipated on our walk back to the car, the three of us decided that we were going to do something that we hadn't done for years together. Some low-level vandalism. No, I'm joking. I'm not. I was trying to come up with something in there that would be church appropriate. I had so few things to put in there. I thought keying some cars would be, maybe that'd be okay, right? No, we hung out in the parking lot. We used to do this when we were 20s and in our teenage years, and we would stand we hung out in the parking lot of the movie theater for a couple of hours. It was nice outside, and we just talked about life. We talked about politics, our relationship with our parents, our frustrations, our kids, our joys, our fears. And miraculously, the mall cops didn't come by and tell us to scram. So we had an opportunity to reconnect. An opportunity where we could be authentically ourselves without worrying about judgment, because we've known each other for two decades now, without having anywhere else to be. There was no time frame stopping us. We could just sit there and talk, check in, reconnect, without anyone dictating how long we had to talk. Now, as I was recalling this conversation, it makes me realize how rarely these opportunities come around. And maybe you know that in your life. My time is always constrained by the next event on my calendar or the kid screaming below me down here who needs his milk right now. Or how long I'm going to be in the car driving. Or eventually my bedtime, which is most of the time. And quite honestly, if I'm lucky, I get short moments to reconnect with a friend whom I can be authentic with. What is going on with our lives that we don't have time for long, rambling, aimless conversations about life anymore? Where is my 3-hour family dinner where everyone is back together around a table telling stories and laughing? What about a nice long walk with a friend where you get some exercise but also an opportunity to share what's going on in your life? When my grandfather, I think it was in his 80s, late 80s, he would go walking with his best friend every day. They lived pretty close to each other, so he would walk to his house, and he would take his walking stick, don't you dare call it a cane, that's what it was, and he would go meet his friend at his house, and they would walk around the neighborhood. And sometimes they would do a short walk, sometimes it would be a long walk. And the only thing I remember about these walks was that they would compete about who could find the most change. And so my grandfather would be like, I found a quarter today. I'm way up on Ben. And that was always exciting. It was always exciting when they found like actual money, like dollars. But as now I'm thinking about these times that he walked with his friend, it wasn't about a competition. It wasn't about exercise. It was actually a time that my grandfather could actually be himself, authentically himself, with his best friend. And he was able to do it every day, where he could talk about what was going on in his life, what he was upset about, what he was happy about, what was going on, and he could rib his buddy about it too, what was going on in his life. And now I think how amazing that must have been for him to have that every day of his life. Every day to be able to interact. Our busy schedules have made it really difficult to be present with one another. Oftentimes we enter into conversations with people thinking that it's simply a transaction. What do I need from this person, or what does this person need from me? Let's make a plan and move on, missing what may actually be important about that interaction. To make things more efficient, we've, in many instances, removed the need to be face-to-face with anyone or even hearing a person's voice, right? We have moved to impersonal social media interactions or emails. And while these are great tools to communicate, they cannot replace your full-blooded presence. What has been preventing you from actually connecting or being present with people in your life? Are you using your busy schedule to shield yourself from having authentic, real connections with other people? When was the last time anyone was fully present with you? Psalm 23 offers a vision of what it means to be present, and here it is God who is present and shows us what it means to be there for another person, to walk alongside someone. The psalmist uses this metaphor of the shepherd And he describes how God leads you to moments of rest and Sabbath, but also walks alongside you through the lows of your life, the darkest valleys of fear and worry and depression. Commentator Robert Fisher says, we should notice how the shepherd does not lead us away from those dark places. Instead, we walk right through it. And we face the darkness, but it holds no power over us because we are in the presence of the Lord. With God walking alongside us, the dark is not as dark. And the lows do not seem as low since God is present. This is also true when we're present with one another. When you have people you could rely on, when you have people that you can be honest with, when you have people that you can share your emotions and frustrations with, people you can laugh with, suddenly life becomes a lot more tolerable. And I think every one of us knows that, that when you are alone and you feel lonely, one of the ways that you can reconnect with God and others is by simply being in the presence of a close friend, someone that you share history with, that you can actually be present. It can heal you. It can heal you from deep resentments. It can heal you from the worry that you carry around. It can give you better perspective, and it can heal you from past hurts. All because someone is there to listen, to be present through whatever life throws your way. So is it time to start carving out chances to connect with others? It starts with your daily life. You need to stop thinking about interactions with other people as merely transactional. There is a full-blooded person right in front of you. A child of God, a person who has worth and maybe has some wisdom to impart upon you. Some moment of grace. Don't miss those moments just because you're behind schedule or because you're frustrated in some way. Second, make sure you are taking time to reconnect with people who love you, people with whom you can be authentically yourself with, who can take on whatever you throw their way, and they're not going to be scandalized or upset or angry at you. Someone that you can trust. Make time to just hang out with that person. Talk with them. Whatever is going on with your life, it will restore your soul. I promise you that. And you will feel it when you have that time to connect. But most importantly, know that you worship a God who is present with you at every moment, especially during your darkest valleys. This is a God who knows everything about you. Isn't that what Jesus says? I know every hair that's on your head. Everything about you. And I, as a kid, I used to think that was terrifying. Maybe y'all did too, right? But actually, it's kind of amazing, right? Because the idea is that God knows us and everything about us, and yet still says, child of God, child of mine, I love you. Dare to do that in your life. To love first, without judgment. To be present without needing something back from that person. To listen without responding. to allow others to be heard, to feel cared for, to feel love, and make yourself vulnerable as well. This week, take time to reconnect with that person you may have mentioned earlier in the service, someone who you have missed, someone who you know that you love and care about, but you haven't been able to be present for that person for some reason. Take time to reconnect. Take time to reach out. It will be a worthy use of your time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.